So I might share a few things and we'll see where we go, eh? I've just been thinking about, and I suppose what the Lord's been just talking to me about, and I just want to share, this is always, you know, I feel like God always does something in me before he does something through me. And so I feel like, you know, that's what the living and active word is that I shouldn't need to come up with something, I should be something. And God's working in my heart, doing some things in my heart at the moment. But just reminding me of this whole idea of how faithful he is. And I just want to talk a little bit about that today, about the fact that, that he's so faithful and that we are part, and it's such a privilege to be part of his story, his story, not my story, but his story. And he invites me into that place and everything around me. I'm just reminded of trying to get this attitude of gratitude going, where I'm just thankful for what I have and not what I don't have. I'm not focused on what's ahead, but I'm focused on what's present and what God's given me, what's in my hand right now. And I appreciate who he is and what he's done in my life. And out of that, I've just become really thankful. And I see, as I've become more thankful, I feel like I'm becoming more thankful because I'm noticing more. Do you notice that about your life? When you become more thankful about things, all of a sudden stuff gets highlighted in your life and you think, man, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. And I just want to encourage you this morning and say, you know what, you're doing all right. You're doing pretty good. And there are a lot of things in your life that I'm so thankful. I've just found myself being thankful for the small things and even the things that are tough, because I suppose why it's been highlighted at the moment is we've been in a season of provision and just noticing things. And as you know, we're raising money for the move and stuff. We had a target of $40,000 to raise. And I shared this with you that I felt the Lord, I said to the Lord, look, if you come up with 25, that's fine, I'll make it work. And he said, don't sell me out, I'll go for 40. And you wouldn't believe it, on the day that we opened last Sunday, we got exactly 40 on that day, right? So, he's so good. And God shows up exactly when you need it. He's never late, he's never early. He's never early. He's always on time. And I'm impatient. Don't get me wrong. I don't like to plan. I was going to say I like to plan. That'd just be a blatant lie. I don't like to plan. But there's something about knowing what's ahead and having all your kind of everything lined up and knowing that you've got what you got before it happens, and you're prepared before it happens. And that's not my life at all. I'm never prepared, but he's prepared. I've never got what I need, but he's got everything I need. I never feel secure in that moment. I feel anxious, but he's at peace, so I'm at peace. You know what I'm saying is that there's a value of being in him rather than in me, that I get to take hold of who he is. And I just want to encourage us this morning that we need to take hold of who he is, because he's amazing. And even some of you know that we've been opening a men's homelessness place, and we're just about ready to open the one we opened one a couple of weeks ago, open another one, another unit on Monday, basically this week. And we're getting the furniture ready, and I want to share this story, Mitch, for you, for your benefit. So I asked Mitch to come and help me, and it was pouring rain and we're putting beds in there and all that kind of stuff. We're driving down the driveway and, you know, I'm all excited. It's all about, you know, putting beds and furniture. That's the last bit of the process, and we're excited because I think about the impact and the lives. I never think about the natural things. I always think about the eternal things. And it's always a good thing because the natural things are always temporary, but God's got something eternal for us that he wants to show us. Anyway, so we've got a big truck driving down there. I said, Mitch, how are we going on your side? He goes, mate, you've got plenty of room. What he doesn't know, we're over the fence. We're running over the fence. It's actually at the back of the... Yeah, yeah. So we managed to take out the fence in Jesus' name. It wasn't until he decided, had a word from the Lord, I should get out of the car and have a look. And then, yeah, he told me to move forward. Anyway, we took out the fence. And... I wasn't bothered by it. I was like, oh, well, it's just a fence. It's all right. Not my fence. No, I wasn't thinking that. So And there's so many things that are happening in my life at the moment where, I mean, our kids have changed schools just a few. We felt like at the end of last year we needed to change our kids in school. And it's just been amazing how God has orchestrated that and totally given us an opportunity to go to a school we never even looked at or we never even thought about. We were thinking something totally different, and then this came up and we sent them there and they're just loving it. And I'm so thankful to God that He just provides and He thinks about those things. Like, it's not just, you know, like the simple things in your life, the family things. He's interested in those things, and those things matter to Him. We're setting up a house, and I'm just going on in my life at the moment, and we're setting up a house for DV victims and victims of DV. And at the end of last year, I had the opportunity to go to a men's breakfast, and I felt the Lord say to me as I was at the men's breakfast, "You need to go and talk to that guy at the end of the thing." He was the speaker, and I thought, "Okay, I'll go and talk." Anyway, he was sort of smothered with people, and I asked the person who organised it, "Can I have the guy's number?" And they wouldn't give it to me because, you know, they weren't obviously giving out numbers to everybody. So I stalked this guy on LinkedIn. Started sending him an emails because I just felt I had a word from the Lord. This guy is going to be significant in the journey. And that this is the whole process, I think, when we understand how good God is. We're recognizing what God's doing and not what I'm doing. We're seeing the God picture. We're seeing His unfolding story in the midst of what we're doing in our life, and He wants to show us things. And so eventually, like it was literally a month or 6 weeks later after I sent him about 14 emails, eventually he got back to me. And he was really excited to meet with me. Anyway, we met on Monday and we're walking through this property and he brought his builder, and I just gave him a list of things like a driveway and want it fitted out. We need bathrooms, kitchen, all everything, finished. He's just ticking it off. Yep, no worries. He sends me an email in the afternoon. He goes, bathroom, fixtures and fittings, donated. Driveway, donated. Like this list was like 10 things long, right? And I was just like, "God, you're so good." Because I couldn't have organized that. He knows. And He sees. And my whole trust is in Him. I don't have any trust in myself. So don't have any trust in me. Have your trust in Him. Because He is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful and He will do it." The one who calls you is faithful. Faithful means that He will follow through on faith. Faithful. He's full of faith. And He's faithful. He'll follow through on the faith that we have. He'll show up. He will do it. And He will continue to do it. And some of you in transition at the moment, and things are going on in your life, and you're thinking, you're asking yourself the question, you know, do I have what it takes? Yes, you do have what it takes. Do you have enough fuel in the tank, enough energy, enough spiritual resource to do what it is God's asking you? Yes, you do have all that and more. It's only when we fix our eyes on ourselves that we find that we get in trouble. I heard a quote this week: "God is still writing your story, so stop trying to steal the pen." Oh, yeah, Lord. I want to lose pens. I'm always trying to pick up the pen and I'm always trying to figure out how I can write my story. But He invites us into His story and He's writing His story. Anyone stole God's pen recently? A few times, yeah. So it's, who do we say that He is, and who is Jesus to you? And I was just reflecting on Matthew 16, just put up on the screen there. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" This is a really important question for all of us, because who we say is, we determine our experience of Him. Who we say He is will determine our experience of Him. Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." Then He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" So I know, I hear what everyone else is saying, but I want to know what you say. Who do you say that I am? And I think sometimes the Lord brings us to that moment in our crisis moment where he's asking us the question, who do you say that I am in this moment? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. My hunch is it's upon our confession of who Jesus is that he builds his church. Because if we know who he is, then his church, because he's the name above every other name, right? He's Jesus. He's the Messiah. See, if I believe that he's the Messiah, and I believe that he's the Christ, and I believe that he's Savior, then that changes my life because I'm counting on him. It's upon that confession that we can build our lives, we can build this church, that God will save us, that he will rescue us, that he will show up, that he will provide for us, that he will sustain us, that he will secure us. That's no doubt. Why? Not because of what you say about him, because of what he says about himself. He is the Messiah. We're just acknowledging something that he already knows. He knows he's the Messiah, and he's looking for an opportunity to come in and be that in our life, to be that person. So I just want to encourage you that we have everything we need in him. And I love Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. The NIV says, I lack nothing. So if he is the shepherd and he is the Messiah, then he is the Savior, then I lack nothing. You're the most well-paid person on the planet. Do you know that? If you're a church planting, you need to get this revelation right now. If you're in between jobs and you're not getting paid what you think you should be paid right now, you need to get this revelation now that you lack nothing, that you're the most well-paid person on the planet. The Messiah, Jesus, the cross paid the price for everything. You're not in debt. Spiritually. Isn't that nice? Because physically I am. I don't like it. Doesn't feel good. So good, isn't it? Oh, I'm preaching to myself. I'm loving this. This is good. I don't know about you. Lack nothing. You know, doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, young, old, you lack nothing. Because if you declare that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But we sort of get into this thought around, you know, self-preservation. The obstacle to this is self-preservation. That is the thing that we need to overcome. I want to read this to you. I read this little article by Michael Kelly, and I want to read it to you. It says, self-preservation is the commitment at any cost to keep and protect what one is, has, and has achieved. On the surface, this commitment of self-preservation might easily be written off as pragmatic responsibility. I mean, you have to look out for yourself. Only the fool doesn't take precautions to protect him or herself, especially in a world when people so quickly and easily take advantage of you. And yet, self-preservation is, for a Christian, one of the more seductive and easily justified means of arrogance. We are not self-sustaining creatures. We are not meant to think we are. In fact, for a Christian, growing more aware of our deep need of God is one of the ironic marks of spiritual maturity. It's not a reflection of your weakness. It's a reflection of your strength when you declare with your mouth, all I've got is him. The This is, I think, one of the reasons why Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, not bread for the next week, not bread for retirement, not bread for today. Implied in that request is the acknowledgement of the fact that no matter how secure we might seem based on our health, bank accounts, or careers, we are still dependent on God for everything we need on a daily basis. This kind of daily praying is one of the ways we fight against the pull of self-preservation. Let's not make a prideful error today of believing in ourselves and committing ourselves to self-preservation. Let's instead take a road of humility, for this is the road of good news. We actually don't have to toil and worry about preserving ourselves, protecting ourselves, for God is the one who sustains. And we can trust Him to do that. When I am weak, He is strong. His grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. The more I say I'm out, the more He says He's in. I feel really good about this as a pastor because, man, every day I wake up in the morning and says, man, I am struggling. And He's like, I can use that. I haven't got the answers. Oh, yeah, I could use that. I haven't figured out all of it. I haven't got a strategic plan. I've got one. I haven't got the resource. Yeah, I've got some. I've got a lot. I've got more than you need. And I trust Him in that place. I trust Him in that place. And so we want to get to this place where we're just so aware, if you like, and there's an awakening in our hearts that He is faithful and He will do it, that He will provide, and that He will show up. Ephesians 2 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing, it's a gift of God. So if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. See, we live in an upside-down kingdom. So we want to position ourselves in this place to give. Proverbs 11, I just want to read this. I had a lot more to say, but I'm going to finish with this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. See, I can give more because I have more in Him. Because I'm not trying to preserve my own life. I'm not trying to make sure that I can sort my life out. I can actually give more because I have more. Because I'm the most well-paid person on the planet. And this is not just talking about money. This is your time, your treasure, your talent. Be generous. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's bizarre, right? Self-preservation is look after me. He's going, no, no, you start refreshing others and you'll be refreshed. You start investing in others, then you'll be invested into. You start giving to others, then you'll be given to. You start encouraging others, you'll get encouraged. You start loving others, you'll start getting loved. No, I'm just going to sit in my lounge and wait for someone to show up. No. If you want to get ministered by Holy Spirit and get prayed for every time you come to church, walk through that door and find someone to pray for. If you want to get healed, find someone and pray for someone for healing. We're all ministers here. No passages, no watches. No one in the stands, everyone's in the game. Oh, you know, but I'm not spiritual enough. I haven't got it all together. I sinned yesterday. You'll probably sin today. That has nothing to do with what you have done and everything to do what he's done, right? Surely that's the gospel, right? Surely. If you're waiting for something other than him, it's never going to come. It's a good preaching book. Keep going. I don't need your applause because I can hear it in heaven right now. You're just recognizing what's going on in heaven. So I appreciate your hearing this morning. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about this passage of a famine swept through Judea, and the Christians in Jerusalem come and they're asked by Paul to give to them, outrageously give to them. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 9 says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop." The word here, the NIV says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows generously will also reap generously." The word sparingly here in the Greek actually means to hold back or to use restraint. I want to release us from holding back. I want to release us from hesitation. I want to release us from straining. It also means to be careful. Just got to be careful. I don't get it right every time, but Jesus is my no more gaps. He kind of fills in the blanks for me. I trust him with that. My heart's good, just so you know. And even when I preach, I'm going to say stuff and you're going to go, "What's he talking about?" And that's okay. I'm not bothered by that. Come and talk to me. It's fine. I'm not going to get it right every time. Because we're sort of growing together, aren't we? And we're learning together. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's recognize who he is. Who's he to you? Let's know that in him we lack nothing. We are the best paid people on the planet. Let's not preserve our lives, but let's share our lives, knowing that you'll lack nothing. And I think Ali this morning, she was on fire this morning. I was listening to you in our prayer time, and I'm like, she quoted Psalm 23, and I'm like, oh, she's on point today. Thank you, Lord, that she's... Well, war that I'm on point, and you're reminding me of that. So thank you, Ali. But I just was thinking about Psalm 23, and she, as she's praying, she spoke these words. And so God's got this for you. This is important, okay, because he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And it's a beautiful picture that he prepares a table before us and we get to sit down with him and minister and fellowship with Holy Spirit in the presence of those people that don't necessarily like us. And even in that moment, I've got more than enough to give. The source of my security is in him. The source of your security is in him. Doesn't matter how many enemies you're around you, it shouldn't mean that your cup is empty. Your cup overflows. So let's all stand and commit our hearts to the Lord afresh and declare that he is Messiah, that he is King, that he is healer, that he is provider, that he was faithful and he will do it. And let's repent, change our hearts, change our minds about the fact that self-preservation is not the way to salvation. And recognize that we are absolutely lack nothing. We should have an expectation in our hearts that God will show up and do what he needs to do when he needs to do it. That it will never be late. He will always come when you need it. So, Lord, we thank you for daily bread. Fresh, smelly, daily bread. Not bread from 4 days ago. Oven-type bread. Hot bread. We want to enjoy that because we know that's for today and that's all we need. In Jesus' name, amen.